and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's win at Spartans, preview this weekend's Scottish Cup tie against Ayr United, and we've got your questions to answer. Yes, welcome on to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever, braving the weather and the elements again this week, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks Colin. How are you?
Aye, not too bad. Yeah, fairly feeling the weather turning. Cold snap coming in this week, apparently, so we could be needing the long johns for Saturday's game.
Oh, is this East of the Beast Part 9 or something? So they've been saying it for the last 9 years. Oh, this is going to be the coldest winter in history and all that. Ah, we just caught winter up here, didn't we? Well, but I think we'll need the long johns on them for the football on Saturday.
I read an article online this morning saying that we should be expecting snow. Well, to be fair, it is the end of November, beginning of December, so I would be expecting snow. Although, having said that, the wife and I were looking back on someone. Well, we're trying to find someone. You give that when you try to find someone online, or you try and find someone on your WhatsApp groups, and you think you're scrolling back. It's April 2 years ago, I think it was. We had snow, which is nae unusual now.
No, that's a worrying thing. It's nae uncommon to hear, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if Saturday was a scorching day and it was plus 10 or something, just the way the weather is now. But it's crazy how it's changing.
So we'll get into the Saturday's game and how what kind of attire we might be wearing for the game against Ayr. Just quickly touch on again, we mentioned it last week, we'll mention it again this week. We've got the Rory raffle still on the go. All the details is on social media. Money's got to be raised, is going to do the supporters clubs. We've got a few in. We look as though we'll try and get it drawn before the Dumbarton game, which is a week on Saturday. So therefore, whoever wins it and is hopefully there at the game, we can hand it to them there and then as well, which would be good. If not, we'll figure out some other way to get it to the winner. Maybe it might be somebody up in Shetland, and we could make a wee trip up to Shetland and go up to the butcher up there and get a pie.
Go up to Simon's Butchers, yeah, get us all a nice pie, yeah, hopefully.
Or if someone farther has got a decent butcher somewhere near hand, would be good. But that's still on the go, so hopefully we get a few more. We've had a few over the weekend as well, so good to get that going as well. And as I say, hopefully we can get it drawn the week off or just before the Dumbarton game and raise a few funds. I know everything's the minute everybody's asking for funds and everybody's asking for raffles coming up for Christmas time and things like that, but it is going to go to the supporters club as well, which is the key thing.
Yeah, and they do a lot of great work behind the scenes as well. It's stuff that, you know, maybe doesn't get that well documented, and putting out in social media, but they do a lot of work behind the scenes to ensure supporters like ourselves are able to go to the away games with the bus and everything. And as we know, cost of everything is going up, so if you can spare a fiver to enter the raffle, I'm sure everybody at the supporters club would be grateful as well.
And that's the thing as well, you know, the costs of these things for supporters club, not just Peterhead, but for other clubs up and down the country as well. The way that, you know, the fuel costs go up, so therefore the buses go up because they have to cover the costs and things like that. And sometimes as well, you'll find that the cost of the bus, travelling the bus goes up as well. So we know everybody's feeling the pinch, but anything that we can do, we will try and help the club out as much as possible, because without the supporters clubs, as I said, not just for Peterhead, but for other clubs as well, these things kind of die away.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, we said when we set up this podcast 5 years ago now that anything that we can do to help the club is always going to be a good thing, and, you know, that includes the supporters club as well. And if doing fundraising and raffle ideas is the way to go, then, you know, hopefully it can be well backed. And as you said, with the cost of everything going up, I'm sure the supporters club would appreciate the money that they get.
So let's go into Saturday's game down at Spartans, where there was a few down at the game as well. I think the phrase, and it's a phrase you don't hear very often nowadays, but bounce back ability was one that was being used, having come off Tuesday's defeat to Stenhousemuir. to then go down to Spartans and get a victory down there just shows you, you know, the battling qualities and the team now has with Ryan and Jordan at the helm.
Yeah, team spirit and determination, that was the two things that I took for the game on Saturday. It was a performance as well to go with it. I think in recent weeks, performances have maybe been slightly dipping, but they came back with a good performance, a good win against a team that we've struggled with the last couple of games as well. So all that thrown in at 6 points out of nine, in what is probably three very difficult teams to play against. I thought Sandra were good from the run-up. Obviously, going away to Sten is always going to be difficult, and away to Spartans a bit of a bogey side. So I think overall, to come away with 6 out of 9, I think it's a decent return.
Yeah, if, and you look at it like that, I mean, we've played Sten, who are now sitting top, joint top with us. We've played Spartans, who are sitting fourth, and we've played Sandra, you know, 2 weeks ago as well, who were not in greatest of form, but still in within the top half. Before we play, and looking ahead as well, we've got Dumbarton as our next league game, and we're sitting third as well. So it's a tough run of fixtures, especially three in a week. Not often we will get that, but to come away with 6 points out of those nine, I guess would be a good return.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's easy to overlook it, but you've also got the travel as well. You know, they're part-time players who are still working during the day, and I'm fully aware that's a lot for, you know, for the other teams have got the same problems as well. But I do think the teams that we're playing against, the slight little hiccup that we had in the road as well with the form, I generally think 6 out of 9 points. Yeah, don't get me wrong, you'd like to have got something at Steny, but we're still joint top. Okay, we're now top by goal difference, but we're joint top. I think if somebody had said that to Ryan and Jordan at the start of before the Sunroar game, they'd have probably taken it. And yeah, we showed it, as you said, a bounce back ability on Saturday.
That's the thing as well. It's because we played Steny on a Tuesday night, you're losing a night's training before you're heading into a game against Spartans. You know, and not many teams will go to Spartans this season, I don't think, and get anything there. I think they'd only lost twice all season there. So, you know, it's a tough place to go. And even more tougher because you've lost that night's training as well.
Yeah, so they'd have trained before the Stranraer game, and then they'd done any training before Steny. The one training session between Steny and Spartans, a lot of travel, injuries as well, little niggles are catching up. So yeah, I generally think 6 out of 9 is a really good return, and it just shows you where we're at, that we're, some folk are probably thinking 6 out of 9 and they're disappointed. And I think that shows where we're at just now as well. You always want to win the games, but there may be some people slightly disappointed that we didn't get San at Steny, but I think 6 out of 9 is good.
Yeah, maybe Steny, as we touched on, maybe was just a slight blip. But it's the sign of a good team that can come back for that and not only win a game in the fashion that we want it, but, you know, up their performance levels as well.
Yeah, and it's against a side that we struggled with, obviously, in the early part of the season, we struggled against them in the cup game as well, in the, you know, the Betfred Cup or whatever it is these days. But, you know, we struggled against them in an away game down there. You're maybe thinking, go, you maybe take a draw, but, yeah, great character for the lads. They stuck in, they worked hard, and, you know, they got the reward for it.
There was originally to be one change from the Steny game. Jordan Brown dropped out and Danny Strachan came back in. He was fully fit again. However, just after the team links was announced and the warm-ups was completed, Ryan Strachan picked up an injury as well, a calf injury, I believe it to be as well. So he was replaced by David Wilson. So there was two changes. That meant David Wilson went to right back, Scott Ross went to centre half, and Danny Strachan actually played in centre midfield in a 4-3-1-2 formation. Not great, all these injuries at the minute, they seem to be picking up. Nothing worse than an injury just before kick-off as well, which probably would have completely changed the plans altogether.
Yeah, probably. And then you've got to make three positional changes as well, with Danny moving into midfield and then Davey going right back and Scott moving in centre-half. But again, it just shows you, we've touched on it a few times this season, we've got players who can cover different roles and you didn't feel any weaker for it. Jordan touched on it in his post-match interview as well with the reporters. Credit to Davey Wilson, probably thinking he'd maybe spend the afternoon sitting on the bench, called upon at 10-3 to start the game. I thought he, you know, really put in a really good performance. And yeah, I think Davey's, we've touched on it before as well, he's probably one of them players that you think you could certainly get a run in the team, but it's just unfortunate that Jason Ryan's got such a good understanding at the back and it's difficult to try and displace them. But now that maybe Ryan might be, whether he plays on Saturday, I don't know, but if he is, I doubt, and Davey comes in, it's a real chance to showcase what he can do.
It was interesting, though, that he went to right back and Scott Ross moved into centre-half. Whereas the last time I think the David played was the cup game, and the two of them were the partnership. So it was interesting to see that they moved Scott into the centre half position and kept David at right back instead.
Yeah, maybe they'd looked at the Spartans team and figured out that there was something with the striker in terms of pace or that his movement or something. They just fancied Scott there. Whether it's maybe Scott playing more regularly, he's maybe got a better understanding with the Jason than what maybe Davey has. So these lot of things will play a part. But it was good to see that although there's Davey was coming in, he was able to, you know, cover different positions as well.
And as I said, Danny, we said before, Danny will play in any position that you put him in. And he played in that centre midfield role alongside Joe McKee and Jack Brown. And it was, I thought, it was excellent. Really played well. I don't know, Ken, if you would want to play in there on a regular basis, but I think he fairly showed his abilities and his attributes to play in that role.
I think Danny's better suited to the wider areas, right back and left back. I think he puts in a great shift in them roles. I think as a stopgap, Danny can certainly be used in midfield. No qualms about that whatsoever. He did that a few times last season as well. But as a regular there, for me, like I said, I think he's got better attributes out wide and he gives you that width and the, you know, going up and down the park, he's better at it. But, you know, as a stopgap, certainly a more than adequate helper.
And the 4-3-1-2, I should say, is something that they've used in the last few games, particularly at Hame against the Shinrar, especially the second half. You know, Conor Creef plays that number 10 role behind Rory and then Kieran Shanks up front. So, it's again, we're talking about players playing in different positions and able to play different positions, but we've got a side who can adapt to different styles, different formations, depending on the opposition now as well.
I think that's a good thing. I think before we've been too regimental and we know what team's going to be and we know what the formation's going to be, and I think that's very easy to defend against. I think at times this season we're going to have to find a different way and, you know, breaking teams down. I think there'll be more occasions this season, especially at Balmoor, where teams will come in, they'll sit back and they'll try and frustrate us. So if we've got a different way in playing, you know, keeping the opposition manager player and coaches on their toes and figuring out, well, we don't know exactly how Peter Heath's going to set up. You know, we can catch teams off guard, and I am pleased that we've got numerous players that can cover different positions, but as well as Ryan and Jordan, that they're, you know, quite adverse to, you know, changing things up, which is a good thing.
In our preview last week, we talked about, you know, what a victory for both sides meant. You know, obviously we would have kind of stretched our gap a little bit to Spartans. Spartans knew if they could beat us, they would then cut the gap right down to about 2 points, I think it would have been at that stage as well. And in the early stages, you know, it was such an open game. It was back and forth, chances for both sides. You could really tell the both teams really wanted to win this game.
Both teams realise the importance of getting 3 points. I think the fact that Spartans are at home, the form that they've been on against us as well, they probably felt that this was another 3 points that was there for the taking. But I think the fact that we lost the game at Steny and the way we probably were a bit below par, I think the guys admitted that as well. There's a real bit between their teeth to try and, you know, put in a good performance and get a result. So, yeah, it showed how important it was with the early exchanges in the game.
And Shanks went close early on as well with a chance, and Stuart McKenzie was kept busy as well. Russell was 1-1, and he saved well as well. And you were looking forward to a game that could have been, like we said, against Shinrar. I mean, it was a game, you know, if everybody took their chances, it could have ended 4-4.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I'm liking them sort of games. It's not good for the heart rate, seeing players taking shots at Stuart. But yeah, it's certainly entertaining, and I think we'll be involved in quite a few entertaining games this season. But we do give away more chances now than what we maybe did, you know, in the opening part of the season. I do think we're slightly more open, but in the same you know, the same token, we do create slightly more chances now as well. Whereas maybe at the start of the season, you were having to take your chances when you got them because you weren't creating that many. So that maybe is you're trying to be more on the front foot, but you're creating a wee bit at the back where you're slightly open. But yeah, as you said, if teams have taken their chances, then you could have been in for a right afternoon. What?
Yeah, you certainly did. I want Stuart McKenzie to be the busiest of the players for Peterhead on a regular basis.
No, and he has been a few times this season. I think we've commented maybe about a month ago. There's a couple of games where he was heavily involved in, you know, big saves at crucial times. And I think from where we brought in Stuart, you know, back in January, it was you always knew that he was a big game player and he made big saves at crucial times. And I think we've definitely reaped the reward of that in the last, you know, 5-6 weeks.
First real opportunity came to Joe McKee. A free kick, almost in an identical position as he scored against Stranraer, but this time hitting the top of the crossbar and really unlucky not to open the scoring at that stage.
That's because he didn't come on the podcast on the Friday. He had to widen the score on the Saturday. But no, you'd fancy Joe for that sort of area. Obviously, he's got form for it as well, but unfortunately on that occasion, just wasn't it to be.
But we did take the lead shortly after Scott Ross scoring from a Joe McKee corner. It's a combination that seems to be working well. It seems to be a combination that's getting us a few goals. That Scott Ross now scored 5, and Joe McKee has now got the same amount of assists as well. So great header for Scott Ross. Obviously liking his goals at the minute. Joe McKee was liking his set pieces and chipping in with the assist. And we've mentioned it before, his free kicks and his corners are that good. They're just being asked for somebody to be there to knock it in.
There's a lot of good things to enjoy about just that, is because you've got Joe McKee with the assists again. Scott Ross, a defender, chipping in with 5 goals already. I think it's brilliant the way he's going. You know, you could quite conceivably get double figures. Should be a brilliant return for a defender. And the attacking set pieces, again, we've been critical of it in years gone by, but we've now got a player with Joe McKee that can really bring a good free kick, whether it's a free kick wide or a corner, or just his set pieces in general are really, really good. So there's a lot to admire about the goal. Scott obviously getting involved as well. It was brilliant, and it's fine to see that we're not just reliant on the players, you know, your creative ones, your Rory McAllister, Kieran Shanks, Hamish Ritchie, that you can, you know, call upon guys from the back, chipping in with a few goals as well.
I wonder if he got in like a goal a bonus on his contract this year, and that's why he seems to be scoring so much. Because if he is, the club's going to need to have a few more funds.
I think they'll be renegotiating with Scott in January if that was the case.
And Favre negotiated the contract, they'll be getting the sack as well. Maybe if it is. But as you said, it's good to see, you know, the goals being spread around. He's now up to 5. And I think, as we mentioned last week as well, that there's about 13 different folk have contributed a goal of some, you know, it's a goal or an assist.
Yeah, it's really important that you've not just got one or two goal scorers and one or two chipping in with the assists. You've got to be, as a team and a unit, you've got to defend well, you've got to attack well. It's really pleasing now, because I think we've had it for a number of years now where you've got, you know, regular guys chipping in with goals and assists and, you know, key chances. It's really positive as we go forward.
And I felt as though we were on top after that as well. You know, we sort of curtailed them a little bit. We started creating a few chances. Conor O'Keefe was heavily involved with the amount of chances that we had. He had the volley wide as well. He had the one that was clear off the line. He chipped the keeper. So plenty of opportunities for us. But we only went in at half-time 1-0 up, and, you know, we probably could have been 2 or 3 up at that time, at that stage.
Yeah, so, it's good that we're creating the chances. I'd be a bit worried if we weren't creating the chances, but you do want to try maybe your conversion rate to be a wee bit higher. I think we do, as a team and a unit, we create good chances, but unfortunately we didn't put as many away as what we'd maybe like. That's something I'm sure that they work on hard in training, but sometimes it just doesn't quite click.
I mean, listen, the O'Keefe one where he chips the keeper and it's cleared off the line. On another day, the guy doesn't get back to clear it. Or, yeah, you know, it spins and it goes another way and it goes in, kind of thing. So, you know, as you said, we're in a position where we're creating these chances. And it's just about, you know, being, I wouldn't even say being clinical, because he did everything he needed to score in that position. But if it wasn't for the defender being there, he probably would have.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't get the luck and the rub of the green. I think there's at times that, you know, Connor can, you know, score two or three goals in a game. He's come up trumps. Sometimes it, on your day, it just doesn't fall for you. And as you said, on another day, that defender doesn't get back and clears it off the line. But the positive is we're in the right place. We're creating the chances. And yeah, as you said, on another day, we score there.
And because we were only 1-0 up at half-time, obviously they're still in the game, and you think yourself, oh, are we going to be punished here for not taking our chances? And as it turned out, that's what did happen. And Spartan scored through a free kick. I'm still adamant this one's a fluke. There's a few folk have said it was a fluke, and it looked as though it was going over, but then it's looped under McKenzie. McKenzie hasn't even sort of moved for it. So, yeah, I think he'll be disappointed with this one. But if it's really disappointing in the way that we've conceded it, basically.
Yeah, it's always disappointing to concede for a set piece, especially in the way it's happened as well. As you said, it's very fortunate. Stuart, looking back on it, would maybe be disappointed, but again, he maybe thinks it's going to go wide anyway. So it's one of them. He'd ask him whether it's maybe been caught slightly in the wind as well. But, you know, the guy could try it 100 times again and maybe it.
Well, that's the thing. Was he trying to cross it, or was he taking a shot? Because if he's shooting for there, okay, good luck to him, but he's not going to be scoring for there very often, and that's the thing. And as I said, we were punished for not taking our chances by a fluke of a goal. And at that kind of stage of the game as well, you know, it was end to end, it was still end to end, a lot of meaty challenges going in, shall we say. Caleb Goldie at that stage was off, he'd been subbed off with a shoulder injury. And somebody had made the point that, forgive me for they picking it up for his name it was, but they sort of asked the question, is that due to the artificial pitch? It happened to Andy McCarthy a few weeks ago doing it to Forfar. He's come off with the shoulder injury as well. Caleb's gotten clattered and he sort of landed on his shoulder. It could just be a pure coincidence. We'll obviously know how hard these artificial pitches can be, and they're not obviously say how grass would be, but it's an interesting sort of one to kind of look at and say, well, maybe that's the reason why he did do his shoulder.
Yeah, it's not something I'd actually thought about, to be fair. It's actually a good point. As you said, the artificial grounds are notoriously more harsher on the skin than anything in the bones. So, yeah, maybe it is something to look into.
There are quite a number of artificial pitches that we play, and that's the thing. That's maybe where all these sort of niggles and things are coming up with. And again, 1-1, neither side were willing to give this game up, neither were settling for a draw. We were sort of pushing on, in fact, Spartans were pushing on for a victory as well. However, we did get the winning goal, 7 minutes to go. Hamish Ritchie and Aaron Reid come off the bench. And then 2 minutes later, those two combined to get the winner. Hamish picking it up in the midfield, a 1-2, clever 1-2 with Aaron Reid. And he's only got one thought in mind, really, once he gets it back for Aaron, and that's to take a touch and then finish it off. And again, just showing you the subtle differences that he can bring to a game.
Yeah, he's a very intelligent player, and that's shown with the goal. It was quick thinking for the 1-2, and the way he's gone into the box as well, you can tell that, you know, defenders don't want to get near him, because if they know if they touch him, he goes down, it's a penalty. So the fact that he's, you know, he's able to glide across the pitch, he's taking the ball with him with the 1-2, he's got past the defender, and, you know, a really good finish. He's not just got in there and panicked, can't finish under the goalkeeper. But yeah, it just shows you the footballing brain that he's got, that he can pick out the 1-2 and carry it on.
He's our difference maker. You know, you talk about sort of looking for players within the squad, somebody that's on the bench that can make a difference. He's certainly one of them that can make a difference. We've got a few, but he's probably our main one that, you know, if we're looking for a spark, he's the one that can provide it.
Yeah, he's maybe disappointed that he doesn't get to start more games because of his the injury and the operation that he's had, but you know, when he's coming off the bench and scoring as many goals or contributing with an assist in as many games as what he's done when he's coming off the bench. Every team gets him from time to time. You get the so-called super sub, and that's what, you know, Hamish Ritchie's certainly become at the moment, because he comes on and it's not just a like-for-like replacement. You came from, you're bringing him on, he's got that quality that he can change the game in your favour. You know, and that's a brilliant quality to have.
And the substitutions were again, probably made at the right times and the right ones that it came off. Obviously, the Caleb Goldie one was an enforced one, but you know we've seen Rory running himself into the ground kind of thing, and then you know you're bringing on fresh legs with Aaron Reid, Hamish Ritchie coming on. You know we're taking off Jack Brown again, somebody that's been run himself into the ground. So you know you're able to freshen up the side without, you know, bringing down the quality.
Yeah, we've said numerous times now we've got quality on the bench, and you don't feel that you're weaker at any point when you're, you know, bringing someone off or bringing them off and on. Aaron Reid and Hamish prime examples, you know, coming on for players on Saturday. And sometimes you bring players off the bench and you actually improve your squad depending on how the game's going. And, you know, the right substitutions need to be made. And I thought that Jordan and Ryan got it bang on Saturday.
And it was much needed 3 points, as I said, after the Stenia loss. Now levelling points with them, but I think more importantly, that's now an 8-point gap to Spartans, who are sitting in fourth. So already there's a three horse race at the top, but so, you know, psychologically that's a big 8 points.
Oh yeah, it was massive in terms of the point difference that it could have been. You know, they could really have closed the gap on us, but the fact that we've gone there and won. And yeah, whilst it was disappointing to get knocked off, you know, top of the table, albeit on goal difference, I still think we're in a brilliant position. As you said, that 8-point gap is now looking really big, even at this early on in the season. I think we're probably about 4 or 5 fixtures away from really knowing where teams are going to be come the end of the season. I think you sort of really get a good idea come the end of quarter two. Yeah, we've put ourselves in a brilliant position at the start of the season.
It's just a pity that Steny Bang didn't have a 3 against Sunrar, so that's where the goal difference was. But they're above us by 1. You know, that's obviously going to be the battle. And we can see, you know, that's, as I said, the top three starting to pull away. There's that middle group, and then there's a 2 or 3 at the bottom as well. As you said, it's starting to sort of sell out a little bit now.
You've also got that psychological thing now of Steny are now the ones being chased. Mm. You see it so often, you know, when you're doing the chasing, your form's fine, but then once you become top, you can get a wee bit jittery. So, you know, we've been there for quite a number of weeks this season. The guys have managed it really well. Steny's now top of the table. They're going to come under games that they're going to find difficult as well. And it's how do they adapt and, you know, change with being the team being chased. But I think we're in for a really interesting season.
And it's good to see I have to mention it, but it's good to see the new manager bounce at Clyde worked fantastically well on Saturday, pumped 4-0 by East Fife, which is one of the, dare I say, a relegation rival, but with that kind of victory, it kind of sorts the men for the boys with that one there. So we did enjoy that one after the final results were coming through.
I did hell off a guy at work, so he was, obviously when it was announced late last week, he said, you always get a new manager bounce, or you normally do. So he put Clyde on the coupon for Saturday. Needless to say, that didn't go doing well. But yeah, slightly surprised that Ian McCall's gone to Clyde, if I'm being honest. I think he could easily have done a job at another, you know, higher level. But he's certainly got his work cut out doing it, is he?
I think he's had his eyes open to how bad the situation is there after Saturday's game. But we'll see what happens when we play them in a few weeks' time. Let's get some of your comments that's come in after Saturday's game. I'll get some of them on. So Johnny Christie says, great 3 points away from home. Exactly it. Any 3 points away from home is good, particularly in a game like that. Wayne Simpson, the team battled well in what looked tricky conditions, and the Arsenal pitch doesn't help neither. Scott Ross, this season has been exceptional and is always looking dangerous at set pieces. Hamish was good to see him. It was good to see Hamish's name back on the team sheet, but even better to see it on the score sheet. Rory and Shanks look to have built up a really good understanding this season, and Rory's flick-ons and hold-up play has been great. Yeah, I agree with that. Scott Ross has been, you know, phenomenal since he's come back. Not just obviously because of his goals, but, you know, defending wise as well, playing at right back and playing at centre half as well.
I thought when Scott, you know, re-signed for us in the summer, I thought that it's a really good, smart bit of business by the club, because you've got an experienced defender at Canes, exactly what he's doing. Canes at the lower leagues really well. But I've been slightly surprised at how well he's done. He's really hit the ground running. And now he's adding in goals to his game as well, you know, five this season. Yeah, a really, really smart bit of business. And yeah, some folk look at maybe the outside of the club and go, oh, I've signed Scott Ross again. Some of them thought maybe nay too happy, but I think it's been a really solid bit of business by the guys.
I'll put behind that. I didn't really think he was going to play as many games as he has. I thought that he may well have been one of those kind of squad players, if you like what David Wilson's turned out to be. But no, he's been that good. He's basically been undroppable, really.
I think he's easily one of the first names in the team sheet now. I think you're probably looking at maybe five or six that you would go, yeah, they play every week. And credit to Scott, I think he's one of them as well.
I think Ryan Strachan puts his name down first on the team sheet.
You may say no favourites as the team manager.
Right, Ryan puts himself down as the first team. Right, let's get some more. Keith Leslie, thought Scott Ross and Danny Strachan put in a power of graft. Great to see Hamish back. Jason Argo, good result against a team we struggled against this season, which is what you were saying earlier on. Shows how much we are improving under Ryan and Jordan. Ian Kennedy, great to be able to bounce back and get the 3 points away from home, especially after Tuesday's result. Hamish, again, the important goal after coming off the bench. Well done, lads. Bring on Ayr United. Neil Thompson, much better than Tuesday night, seemed to close down better. Jack did his usual job, but I think Danny being more involved and up in their half helped. Scott Ross played well and got his goal. Still think theirs was a fluke, with everybody thinking the ball was heading out. We used our subs at the right time, with Reid adding legs and Hamish providing his usual class to earn the 3 points. Again, Scott Ross, Danny Strachan being the sort of standout names, and Danny maybe putting himself in for being a midfield player now as well.
Yeah, and it's good to see guys getting credit. Dare I say it, that Danny and Scott aren't your attacking flair, creative sort of players. So it's good to see guys that do a lot of hard work, a lot of graft that maybe goes unrecognised at times. It's good to see them get the credit they rightly deserve.
And Jack Brown, I think, is probably one of those players as well. Flies under the radar because he doesn't score a lot of goals, because he doesn't get a lot of the assists either. But the team is certainly weaker without him because of his work rate.
Oh, absolutely. He's a quality player. We picked up on that a few weeks ago. I can't remember what game it was, but you know, Jack Brown seems to start a lot of the pressing. He seems to be almost like a trigger point at times as well. When the ball gets to the full backs of the opposition, if Jack's the pressing, then that's a trigger point for the rest of the guys to step up or latch on to a man. So yeah, certainly a weaker team without Jack in it.
So Hamish's name been mentioned quite a lot here. One of the points that we've asked or comments, the questions that come in, Peter Bruce has said, I hope that the directors are pulling out all the stops to get him to sign a new contract. And that's something that we'd all dearly love to see happening. His contract is up at the end of the season. He's the only one, apart from, I think, Conor Duffy and Sandy Wood are in the same situation. But obviously, Hamish is the priority. We'd love to get him to sign the contract. Obviously, we suspect the negotiations are still going on in the background. We'd love to give you an update as to say if and when that is happening. Unfortunately, there hasn't been a change in the situation since the last time we spoke about it. I think it was last month that somebody had asked the question.
Yeah, unfortunately, the update is there is no update, which is probably supporters are wanting to hear. Ideally, we'd love a tweet to come out tonight saying that Hamish Ritchie signed a contract extension. We didn't care any difference. We didn't. It's not going to happen. But yeah, you'd really ideally like him to sign, but you know there is other factors that come into play as well. But if you've got a quality player like Hamish Ritchie, you know, I'm almost certain the club and Ryan and Jordan are doing everything they can to try and tie him down.
Yeah, and you're what you didn't want as well in January? Did I want other clubs sort of sniffing around and potentially speaking to him, because which they will be entitled to do in January?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that he'd be entitled to speak to other clubs. I do think Hamish is a sort of lad that he's got a lot of respect for his teammates and the management and the staff at Peterhead as well. So, you know, if he was going to be speaking to other clubs, I'm pretty sure he'd be giving Peterhead the heads up, or, you know, even, you know, enhancing the negotiations with the club. But yeah, watch this space tightly.
Just sign the contract, Hamish. That's all we say. It's all we
can't say.
Please. Just sign the contract, will you? Scott Reid, any news on Andy McCarthy and how long he'll be out for? We believe he is back and ready. I think the question is whether or not they risk him. I wouldn't even say risk him, but whether or not they want to play him in Saturday's game or keep him fresh for what is potentially a bigger game against Dumbarton the following week.
For me, no, I wouldn't be playing him against Ayr. We've seen the other week from, I wouldn't say he was rushed back, but I think another week off before would have done his chances any higher than either. I think, yeah, you've got to be careful with these shoulder injuries, especially the way Andy plays the game as well. He likes to get involved, and, you know, we've seen the way he's able to win the three kicks. You know, he sort of puts his body in between, he can, you know, be clattered to the ground, so... Yeah, for me, I believe not the week after.
It just depends on who wins the fight between him and Donald this week, I suppose.
I mean, I certainly would like to pick a winner out of that too, that's for sure.
So that takes us nicely on to Saturday's game then against the Ayr Scottish Cup tie. I think it was about a nothing kind of draw, really, because it's a championship side, yes. It's not the most glamorous of tie, but it is at home, so, you know, you potentially look at it and say, you put it in as a glamour tie, probably not. Is it a winnable tie? Possibly. So it's sort of betwixt and between, really, isn't it?
Well, we've seen a draw and we sort of went meh. It's not exactly got to be one of them that you'd fancy your chances greatly. It's not one that's got to generate the club a vast amount of money either, you would think, unless, you know, there's a bumper crowd there. And the fact that it's not a clear cut, yeah, winnable game, you sort of put it in the bracket of, well, you could sort of almost, well, do you make a few changes? Do you try and go for it, thinking we could possibly win it? It really is one of them games that I really don't know how to call it. I would like to think, well, it's the Scottish Cup, you know, the magic of the Cup, you never know if it could happen. Also, it can, it's a one-off tie, but I do think I would like to prioritise the league. But again, you don't maybe want to make too many changes for this game, because our form hasn't been that great in recent weeks, so you want to then try and get continuity in your squad. So, yeah, there's a few things for the guys to weigh up.
And I suppose it's really how Ayr look at it as well, because it's probably one of those ties where they're in a no-win situation. They're a championship side, so they should be, you would think on paper, beating a League Two side. But, you know, we're probably in better form than they are at the minute. So if they do beat us, that they're expected to beat us. If we beat them, it'll be a case of, well, that's a bit of a cup shock.
Yeah, it's a banana skin for them. Like you said, they'll be looking at it thinking they should be beating a League Two side, but it's a fact, it's away from home. You know, I'd had a bit of a lengthy journey to make coming up as well. You know, and these factors, you know, they do play a big part in the game. So I don't think I can ever call it. Obviously, we'll find out where Ryan and Jordan once, if they make any changes to their selection, whether they try and juggle players about and give players minutes that maybe haven't had. And, you know, maybe guys like Ryan and Rory, do they get a rest and come out of the team for a wee bit? And also, it depends how many knocks we've picked up in the last week as well. So there's a lot of things at play here.
It'll be the first time we've played each other since the 2015-16 season. And obviously, as you'll know, we played them in the playoffs that season as well, League One playoffs, when we, dare I say, we got spanked 6-2. Oh, no, I know, I'm going to get... against a team that finished second. We obviously finished third that season, so obviously that was our second, equal in our highest position in the league. So, but it's the third, just the fourth time we've played each other in the Scottish Cup. They've won all three previous ties, the last one being in December 2006. So it's been a wee while since we've played there, a lot of sort of water under the bridge since then. I don't suppose there's that kind of we need to get revenge on them for that playoff loss, the 6-2 loss, because I would suggest that the vast majority of players have moved on since then. There might be some that have returned, right enough. But that maybe there's a wee element to that to some of the spectators.
Yeah, for the spectators, possibly. If you look back at the history books, it would also, you'd think, would be due a win by law of probability. You'd think, well, Peter, he's due a win at some point. Hopefully that can be Saturday. But yeah, a lot of water under the bridge since then. A lot of players have come and gone. A lot of guys in the, you know, director levels as well, and, you know, managers have, a lot have come and gone since then. But yeah, I think it'll be an interesting game on Saturday.
And we are, as I said, we're playing a championship side. They've been a championship side since 2018. So they're a well-established championship side. Currently sixth, finished second last season, got beat 8-0 on Great Bay Park Thistle, as you'll recall. So, you know, as I said, it's a team that are well-established in the championship. Maybe not doing particularly well this season.
No, but they might find it a game to, you know, kickstart a wee bit of form for them. Like you said, it's a bit of a banana skin because they're expected to win. And by winning, everybody go, well, yeah, you're expected to win. You're against a League Two side. So they can't really win in that aspect. But yeah, I'd like to think we can put on a good showing and, you know, really get in their faces at early doors and, you know, try and make it difficult for them. Because I think if you get in their faces, they might not fancy it. Like I said, an away tie, if you've got the weather behind you as well. It'd be interesting to see if it, you know, both Peter Heath and Ayer, the starting lineups, to see how both managers rate the game.
And they've just got 4 wins in the league this season, but interestingly, 3 of those have been away from home. So it might be one of those teams where they perform better away from home than they do at home.
Yeah, you get that at times. Teams are more equipped to playing away from home, maybe the style and the way they set up. I certainly doubt they'll be coming up here to sit back and then try and hit us on the counter like they've done in some of their games this season, away from home. So yeah, like I said, if we can get at them early doors and, you know, really put them under a wee bit of pressure.
The main man for them will be Anton Dowds, on loan at from Partick Thistle. 5 goals in 7 games since joining them at the end of September. So, you know, obviously we know about him anyway, obviously for his Partick Thistle days and his Falkirk days as well. So, you know, he's going to be the key man to try and keep quiet as much as possible.
Yeah, and they're a team that didn't score many goals, so the fact that he's got 5 and 7, he certainly is a player that you'll need to keep a close eye on. Again, it's one of these games I think Jason Brown would probably relish that sort of challenge, try to keep a man of his, you know, Dowds quality quiet. I think it'll be interesting for a variety of different reasons, but we'll only get a really keen how the game might go based on the manager's lineups.
So looking at our team selections, we said Andy McCarthy could be a possibility, but do we keep him for the Martin game? Ryan Strachan, we think will probably be out because of his calf injury. Again, it's probably better keeping him until the Dumbarton game. The biggest question is whether or not do we start Hamish Ritchie or keep him on the bench. Now, but the fact that Caleb Goldie is going to be out may just make that decision for them. By putting him into midfield and then switching Danny back to left back again.
Yeah, you've got the question with Hamish coming in. I think you'd maybe throw in, does Rory start as well, or do you give him a bit of a break? You know, he's not a young man anymore. Does Aaron Reid now come in for a wee bit of a chance? Like I said, I think the quality that Hamish has got, you'd always want him to start games and play 90 minutes. I guess it all depends on how his injury is, you know, if he's feeling any effects of the game on Saturday and how he comes through training over the next couple of days as well.
And does that, you know, impact on the lineup? Will it be 4-3-1-2? Do they go back to 4-4-2? That's the kind of things that you would look at. And because we've got players that are so adaptive, there's no reason why we can't switch, you know, before a game or even during a game.
Yeah, especially during the game, I think they can probably have a style that they want to go with to start the game, and if it's not quite working, like it's happened before, like especially Dundee United game, they tried something that didn't quite work, then you've got players that are playing that, you know, they're able to adapt within the game, which is a really good quality to have.
And probably with Ryan being out again, David Wilson gets another start, and obviously Caleb Goldie being out as well, so there's more reason for him to not only put in a performance, but put in a performance that makes him, you know, once Ryan and Caleb are back as well, to make it difficult for them to drop him.
Yeah, a real chance for Davies or a stake of claim for his, you know, his starting position. And like I said, I think he's been unfortunate. The fact that Ryan and Jason's got a really good understanding, pardon me, at the back, that he's fallen victim of that success. But if he comes in on Saturday and puts in a really good shift, then I see no reason why they, you know, that Ryan and Jordan wouldn't be looking at it thinking, yeah, he's maybe one to try and, you know, get the match day starting 11.
We'll obviously know what will happen if, or potentially could happen if we get a victory in this. Both sides will be looking at going to the fourth round of the cup. Potentially, you're looking at, you know, one of the glamour ties as well. So, without sort of looking too far ahead, you know, you win this game, suddenly, you know, those possibilities open up.
Yeah, once you get in the next round and you start to get the big hitters coming in, that's when you really start looking at a draw and going, well, do you want an away tie to Edinburgh or Aberdeen or, you know, Glasgow? And you start thinking, oh, there could be a few pounds here as well. Or do you then go, well, you maybe want one of them at home for the glamour home tie and the TV coverage and everything. So, yeah, it's an important game to try and get through. Like I said, that's why with this air game, it's not a fantastic winnable chance, but it's also one that you're not really completely ruled out either. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see the manager lineups and how they both approach the game.
Obviously, you can't class it as a winnable game. It's an outright winnable game, but I think as well, if we perform to our best, I think it's a game we certainly can win.
Yeah, I think the crucial bit there is playing at our best. I think we will need to be at our best on Saturday to try and get through. I don't think we can take air lightly. I don't think they're going to take us lightly either. But yeah, like you said, if we play our best, then I see no reason why we shouldn't be, you know, looking for a win.
Okay, now joining me on the Blue Toon podcast to talk about Saturday's game against Ayr United is Alistair Sargent. Alistair, welcome to the Blue Toon podcast. How are you?
Not bad, Colin. Thanks for having me along.
Not at all. Good to get to speak to you. You are one of the many of the football manager researchers that's tasked by trying to get the accuracy of the Scottish teams.
That's right, yeah. Everybody always seems to think that I underrate Ayr as well. Every season, everybody seems to say, oh, Ayr's players are rated a bit low. And I'm like, no, everybody else's players are rated a bit too high. Ayr's players are rated as badly as they should be. Everybody else says they're terrible. Get them down. So, yeah, that usually happens every year.
It's difficult to try to get that your Ayr-tinted goggles off sometimes, isn't it? Take the emotion out of it.
That's the pessimist in me is always quite good for that, though.
And I suppose being a supporter of a team like Ayr and I suppose a team like Peterhead as well, pessimism comes hand in hand.
Yeah, or like even maybe not even so much pessimism, it's just the experience of knowing what's around the corner that even the moments of optimism don't last very long. So. Yeah, there's usually a rude awakening to any form of optimism that builds up. Not too far around the corner with all of our teams, really. So it's but that to me, that's football. You know what I mean? I couldn't go support one of those other teams that win every week. There's no fun in that.
No, exactly. There's absolutely no fun in it. There's no joy in it when you actually do win as well.
Exactly. Yeah, the joy is in the moments of like. Complete euphoria when something unexpected happens. So that's the beauty of the game for me. So that's the pessimism is always makes the wins a wee bit better.
So let's talk about Ayr so far this season. You're line six in the championship. How would you sort of assess the season so far?
Yeah, I think probably actually like the league position. Says it all, really. It's sort of mid-table and it's some good and some bad. Away home things have actually been going pretty well, had some quite good results, but the home form is just absolutely terrible. You know, really, really struggling to get any sort of momentum going in home games at all, and just that's really kind of really held the season back. Things are, you know, picking up plenty of points on the road, but just kind of wheels come off at home, and if that had been improved, you know, even marginally, you'd be looking at it being maybe third in the table, third, fourth in the table, things looking quite good. But yeah, it's been a real kind of mixed season in terms of performances, to be honest.
Would you say, okay, I think this is your fifth or sixth season now back in the Championship, are you sort of well established as a Championship side now, or is that sort of threat of, you know, relegation still hanging around?
Well, I mean, as well established as anybody can be in the Championship, to be honest. I think, again, it's looking like one of those seasons where, last season there was almost two leagues and it was a bottom three and a top seven, and really up until the last few weeks, anybody in that top seven was in with a shout, even the Championship. But and then like the bottom three were all kind of vying. This year it almost might be the opposite, where it looks like there's going to be a top two in Dundee United and Wraith, with Partick maybe kind of in behind them, and then everybody else looks like they're going to spend the season looking over their shoulder. So to be honest, I think, you know, as established as any Championship team can be, and I think most fans would say that that's where the club belongs, it would be really, you know, relegation would be a bit of a disaster for a season. It's not as if, you know, it would be something that would be expected at this kind of stage after six or so seasons. But realistically, looking at the league this season, there's every chance that they'll be there or thereabouts with six or seven other teams, and it could come right down the wire, I think, in terms of the last maybe month or so before teams start to kind of pull themselves away from it. I think it will really be that close between seven teams, to be honest.
But you just have to look at Inverness, I guess. You know, the really poor start that they've had, they've ended up having to change their manager. So it can be sort of a bit of a dogfight.
Yeah, and I think that it's always going to be one of those leagues that two or three results in a row, things will start to look really optimistic, and you'll start to kind of pull up the league a bit, and a couple of bad results, and you'll suddenly kind of spiral back down, and other teams will start kind of clawing away. So, yeah, kind of, I think they'll be okay, but I think it's going to be one of those, I think they'll always be just about okay, but never with that much breathing space that it'll be, you know, it'll be comfortable, to be honest. I think it'll always be a little bit nervy that maybe only a couple of results away for getting dragged back in. So, yeah, I think it's going to be one of those seasons that could be a little bit nervy at certain points.
What was your reaction to the draw when it was made, a trip up to Peterhead? What was the sort of reaction amongst the sport?
I mean, I think most of the support are looking forward to a decent trip, I think, in cup games. Obviously, you always look for a home game, but I think then, when you get an away game, you're looking for a decent away game. You know, you want Peterhead is somewhere that you haven't been for a number of years. I know I used to really enjoy the trips up there. Going back maybe six, seven, 8 years when Peterhead used to play quite regularly, and I used to really quite enjoy the trips up to Peterhead. So I think, you know, a lot of the guys are probably actually looking forward to a nice away day. You know, a decent meet. Maybe not in this, in the winter, maybe not quite as much, but yeah, I think probably, to be honest, it's one that people are probably actually looking forward to in terms of having a good day out of it.
Is there a potential for being a bit of a banana skin this one? Obviously, you guys are, you know, the Championship side, we're League Two, but we're coming into it on a decent bit of form, maybe not so much air, so is there a potential for being a bit of a banana skin for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would never ever going to any air game feeling massively confident that like a banana skin's unavoidable. You only need to look at what Auchinleck like Talbot did to us a couple of years ago. But and they were a much better side then than they are now. They had a better team then, and Talbot dumped them out. So I would certainly say a banana skin's possible, and they haven't had their problems to seek in the past few weeks defensively. You know, our goalkeeper, Charlie Albinson, who I think's probably the best goalkeeper in the league, to be honest, he's missed the past few games with a back injury. Frankie Masonda, who's a Zambian international centre-back, he's been out for a few games, kind of bit of an injury that I mean, he seemed to pick up an injury around about this same time last year that lasted through until the weather picked up. So I'm hoping that it's not going to be the same this year. You know, he's probably the best defender we've got. Ayers' defence is the brilliant at the best of times, but Masonda's the one guy who's got a bit of quality about him. He's been out for a few weeks. And then George Stanger, who's been playing most of the season at centre-back, he went off at Inverness a few weeks ago with an injury. So, you know, I'm hoping that the international break, the bit of time off, has allowed some of that to clear up. But, you know, it's never ideal going into a cup game if you're going into a makeshift defence where you know, you're maybe going to be put under pressure. And, you know, a one-off game, you can't afford a couple of slip-ups, or you can't afford a bit of unfamiliarity at the back. So we'll see. I think maybe the goalkeeper, Robbie March, who's been playing the past few games, would have played the cup game anyway. It's probable that would have happened. I think, you know, if they were going into it really short on bodies at the back, I don't see any reason why a banana skin couldn't be possible. That said, away from home, they have been a lot better. I think if it was a home game, I'd give you a real chance, given what his home form has been like. But they have been decent on the road, so I think they'll just about have enough. But I wouldn't rule it out, and it certainly wouldn't be like, it wouldn't go down as one of the great cup shocks, put it that way.
And you talk about your sort of defensive maybe frailties there, but attacking-wise, seem to be scoring a lot of goals. I think it's just the top three that have scored more goals than you in the league.
Yeah, I mean, that was helped by kind of five at Queen's Park and a brilliant away performance again. But going forward, have been all right. And the two wide guys, Logan Chalmers and Jamie Murphy, have been absolutely top class. And they'll be the two guys who kind of cause problems. They'll be the two guys that Peterhead really need to look out for. And if they kind of get in their stride and they start to run the game, then they always seem to do pretty well. But if you can kind of keep them quiet, there's not an awful lot else in terms of creativity in the team. So those are the two guys that are really dangerous. Anton Dowds has made a difference since he's come along from Partick as well. He's scored a few goals and been a good focal point up front. So, yeah, going forward hasn't been a problem, but when you're kind of having to score three to win most games, which has been the case for the other season, you better be good going forward, to be honest. So I think, again, it could be another high-scoring game, this one.
I mean, as a punter, it sounds as though you're getting value for money.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're thinking twice about going, I would get yourself along and pay the money, because you'll probably get value for goals, to be honest. Well, that's me guaranteed an R&H and
a penalty shootout.
But yeah, I think it's a game that probably will have goals in it.
Expectations then, you come in, obviously you said it could potentially be a banana skin, but you know, you'll obviously be expecting to win this one though, wouldn't you?
I think so, yeah. And I think, I mean, it would be a real disappointment for Rhea if they were to miss out. You know, any time you play a cup tie against a team who are below you in the league standings, not going through it is a disappointment. And especially for clubs like here and like Peterhead, the cup can be a real bonus. You know, you're one good draw away from making your season's budget. Realistically, mm-hmm. You know, it's doubling your season's budget. So I think it would be a massive disappointment for you to go out, especially if they're going to need to go into January and maybe strengthen a couple of areas if some of these injury problems don't clear up. So, yeah, but as I said, you're always pessimistic about the team. So I'll never go into a game with massive expectation. But it would be a big disappointment to go out to a team from League Two. But listen, that's stranger things have certainly happened, and they've happened here in the very recent past. So I'll never count my chickens. Let's put it that way.
Finally then, are you going to put your head on the block and give me a score prediction?
I'll go with a 3-1 here.
3-1 here.
3-1 or 3-2 here, yeah.
I can see Dowd's getting a couple of goals, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're good going forward. Murphy and Chalmers are a real, real problem to defend us in the Championship. So, you know, if they turn up and put a performance in, you know, they could really kind of run a bit of riot, I would have thought. But that's, to be honest, that's what they should be doing every week. The two guys play, they're a real class act at the level that they're playing at. So, I expect it to score goals, but I also expect it to concede goals. So, well, I think 3-1 or 3-2, I can see it being a high scoring affair. I'm just hoping it doesn't get too nervy.
Well, hoping it is going to be a high scoring game, because I think it's going to be pretty call up here on Saturday. So you might want to bring on your long johns. But Alistair, thanks very much for coming on. Pleasure to talk to you. Good to see you. And we'll look forward to getting these AR numbers and Football Manager next season reduced again. Will we?
Absolutely. I know. Pleasure. And good luck on Saturday. May the best team win. And absolutely no hard feelings if it's Peterhead who go through and get a wee money spinner in the next round. Hopefully, if they do.
So that is it for this week. Do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Alistair Sargent for joining me to preview the Ayr United game, and of course to Martin Smith for being here as always. Big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.